check yourself before you wreck yourself. A saying maybe we have heard before. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Now, my brothers and sisters, every year in Pennsylvania, we have to do something with our cars. Unlike Ohio and some other places, we have to take our cars in for inspection. This is a great cross for me, usually. Almost every time I take my car in for inspection, I get a big bill of multiple things wrong. So much so, this year, I just went and got a new car. And some years, I would always joke when I was in Uniontown, the sheriff was usually in the pews whenever I had Ash for Wednesday at St. Therese, and I would say, don't pull me over, because normally my inspection was out of date. Now, my brothers and sisters, we do not take cars in for inspection because they are broken down, but we precisely take them in to keep them from breaking down and causing a catastrophe. A mechanic checks the brakes before they fail, the tires before they blow, and the engine before it seizes. The whole point of inspection is prevention. That an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, that we hear often in that saying. And so Ash Wednesday is the church's annual inspection sticker for the soul. Today, the church invites us, even urges us, to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, to remind ourselves that we are sinners that need conversion so as to then enjoy the glories of heaven to come. Because the truth is that spiritual breakdowns, they rarely happen all at once. Rather, they come from slow neglect, worn down prayer, and thin patience. Bald tires of charity, breaks of self-control that don't quite grip like they used to. And so the church, like a good mechanic, lifts the hood, and we are called to inspect ourselves, to look into ourselves, to let the Lord in so that we can be healed. When we come forward today to receive the ashes upon our foreheads, we are told, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. That phrase is not meant to depress us. It's rather a calling to wake us up from our spiritual slumber. It's the ultimate reminder of inspection. This life is not forever. Your soul matters. Pay attention and be converted. Now, when a mechanic inspects a car, it doesn't just glance at the exterior. Rather, you have to look inside, under the hood, for the problems. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us in the gospel. When you give alms, don't do it for show, not for exteriority, rather for what it does to the soul interiorly. When you pray, go to your inner room. When you fast, don't make a spectacle. In other words, don't just polish the outside, check the engine. Lent is not about appearances, it's about honesty. It's easy to say, I'm giving up chocolate or I'm giving up social media, and those can be good things, but Ash Wednesday asks deeper questions about ourselves, that we should ask ourselves, where is my heart worn thin? Where has my love grown cold? Where am I coasting instead of converting? That's a really good one. Where am I coasting in life rather than converting? Because sin, like mechanical failure, often begins small. A habit we justify, a prayer we skip, a grudge that we nurse, or a virtue that we postpone. Unchecked, those things accumulate altogether, and eventually something breaks, and we have a really big problem. Now, here's the good news. Inspections are not punishments, but they are protections. The church does not mark our foreheads with ashes to shame us, but rather to save us. Ashes are a sign of truth, but also of mercy. This tradition in the church isn't something that we created, but rather if you go to sacred scripture, you find really where it's rooted. In the prophet Ezekiel, if you go there, that the angel of the Lord marks the righteous, those that are trying to follow in the way of the Lord, with the tau in Hebrew. Now the tau in Hebrew looks like the sign of the cross. If you remember, in different parts of sacred scripture, it'll speak about the mark of the beast. Now, where's the mark of the beast come from? The devil. But where is it marked? Over the forehead. But also, too, over the hand. as a sign, and over the lips. What are we called to do when we hear the gospel? To let it permeate our minds. We make the sign of the cross, literally, as you just did. To permeate our mouth, our lips, so that we praise the Lord and speak good words rather than slander and deceit and accusation like the devil. And we use our right hand to do it as a sign of the good deeds or works that we do, glorifying God in the world. We make the sign of the cross all the time. The earliest Christians would make the sign of the cross probably just over their foreheads very lightly and in a small manner because of persecution. We hear this from one of the church fathers, Tertullian. We make it the sign of the cross the whole way over ourselves, I think often just making the sign of the cross without thinking about it, because it's habit, it's pro forma for us as Catholics. But think about what we are doing there. We are calling down the incarnation, the wisdom of God, to cover over ourselves from head to toe in a way, and then asking God to guide us in the way of righteousness. You can think of the guardrails, the narrow way, to follow the cross after Jesus himself. We think that, in a way, Jesus went from death, the left side sinister, that's why nuns used to beat hands if you wrote with your left hand. So from the left, through death, unto resurrection, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus coming down, going the whole way into death, and then rising from the dead and being seated with the Father. Some of us maybe have gone to Byzantine churches or in the East, Eastern Catholic churches. They make the sign of the cross the wrong way. No, I'm joking. A different way through tradition than we have. We go, as Latins, left to right. They go right to left. What does it symbolize for them? It goes from Jew to Gentile, the message of salvation, to those that were lost outside of the household of God, that Jesus came to save all, that his salvation is an open invitation for those that accept it, those that inspect themselves, those that are trying to convert. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that our alignment is correct, that our brakes are working, that the engine is running well, so that we can follow after Christ himself through the way of the cross. In a few moments, you will come forward to receive ashes. They are simple, dirty even, that smudge, and they fade. But they preach a powerful sermon without words. You are mortal. You need mercy. And ultimately, you belong to Christ through the cross, the very instrument of salvation, for he won us that victory over the devil. In ancient times, soldiers were marked before they went into battle. Today, we are marked for a different fight, the fight for holiness over these next 40 days. The ashes say, I am entering Lent honestly. I am ready for inspection. I trust God with the repairs that need done in my life. Ash Wednesday, my brothers and sisters, is not about guilt. It's rather about grace and what God can make us through his mercy. It is God giving us a yearly chance to slow down, to examine, to repent, and ultimately to return to him. Because the goal is not merely to avoid wreckage, the goal is to run the race well, to finish the race, to arrive whole and holy come Easter time. And so check yourself before you wreck yourself.